Dateline, April 1985. More than meets the eye. It's funny how certain pop culture properties proliferate across various mediums, but manage to miss out on one that, by all rights, they really should have conquered. 20th Century Fox enjoyed full ownership over the Alien and Predator characters, and yet, despite years of crossover comics, video games, board games, novels, and even toys, the studio didn't pair the two on the big screen until 2004 in a film that few people enjoyed. Frank Herbert's Dune saga has enjoyed decades of relevance and seen many adaptations, including movies, television, video games, trading cards, and multiple tabletop RPGs. Yet in 60 years, no one has seen fit to recreate the barren desert world of Arrakis in animation. I realize the mixed success of these other projects have lessened the urgency for yet another interpretation. But I can't think of a better medium for the fourth book and its infamous human-sandworm hybrid who rules the universe. For me, the Transformers represents the zenith of this particular phenomenon. The toy line debuted in 1984, alongside comic books and a syndicated cartoon, with a feature film arriving 2 years later. Perfect timing for both the Famicom in Japan and the NES in the United States. Despite this, the only video games available during this red-hot period were a pair of forgettable computer titles and a Famicom cartridge so bad, Takara never released it abroad. Fortunately, no one owns the idea of cool robots that turn into vehicles, so other developers had the foresight to step up to the plate and deliver transforming robot action to attention-starved children around the world. 40 years ago this month, GameArts made their debut with Thexter, an original title for Japanese home computers that morphed into an international success. In Thexter, players take control of the eponymous robot and fight their way through a fortress buried inside the mysterious asteroid Nedium, according to GameArt's official website. I should specify that both Japanese and English language materials suggest a pilot actually controls Thexter, even though they also describe it as a robot, which would imply a manner of autonomy. No matter, whether you operate Thexter or you are Thexter, the game pits you against wave after wave of security forces in your quest to destroy the central computer at the heart of the facility. By default, Thexter struts around on two legs at a decent pace and can jump fairly high. When facing obstacles or enemies, Thexter can fire a beam that locks onto the nearest threat and deals continuous instant damage for as long as the player holds down the button. Note that the proximity targeting does not factor walls into account. So if a bogey approaches Thexter in a tight space, while another floats harmlessly on a platform above, the laser will home in on whichever is closer. For those occasions where two legs are not enough, Thexter can transform into a jet and fly in 8 directions. Thexter fits into smaller spaces in this shape and moves much faster, but also must keep moving. Hovering in place is not an option. In jet form, the laser no longer auto-aims, instead firing straight ahead. This allows for more precision shooting, with the drawback that the jet's constant forward momentum sends it hurtling towards its target. Thexter uses a nondescript energy source to power its functions. Discharging the laser slowly depletes the energy reserves, but contact with any hazard rapidly drains it. Crucially, Thexter does not offer players any invulnerability when taking damage. Even a single sentry can completely empty the tank. As the English instruction manual puts it, there is only one Thexter in the universe, meaning that running out of energy ends the game. No extra lives, no continues. Thexter slowly made its way from platform to platform, garnering more attention as new players discovered it. In December of 1985, Square licensed and ported Thexter to the Famicom, although this version never made it to the NES. An MSX port in 1986 became the first incarnation of Thexter to reach international markets. I later discovered Thexter in middle school, when Sierra published it in the United States for DOS and Apple computers. By the time I got my hands on the Super Assault vehicle, I was used to running and gunning with Mega Man, but I still love Transformers, so Thexter immediately held my attention. The intense difficulty compared to arcade or NES games took me aback, as those other platforms usually offered players more than one attempt to reach the end without restarting. Thexter refuses such shortcuts, instead insisting that I either learn the ins and out of every stage or die trying. I never came close to completing Thexter, and by high school, I had completely forgotten about the game. I wonder if its unusual nomenclature impaired my ability to remember it once I stopped playing. The title comes straight from the original release and carries no particular meaning, although in Japan they pronounce it Tegza. Fans suspect Game Arts combined the names of three popular shooters, Tessius, Exua 2 Warroid, and Grobda, into one new term. It wasn't until 2009 that I got a hands-on reminder about this lost game from my childhood when I attended my first Tokyo Game Show as a member of the press. In between demos for Bayonetta and Left 4 Dead 2, I spotted Square Enix's new Thexter Neo and everything came flooding back to me. I even ventured out to a game bar that night so I could find and try the Famicom version we never saw in the US. At the time, I concluded that Thexter demanded too much of me and never gave it a second thought. Today, however, I find myself drawn to Thexter all over again. The original title remains available and affordable via Project Egg, and like many extremely challenging video games, Thexter demands caution. If you try to blast your way through Nedium at full speed, you'll soon see your robot chassis smashed to pieces. Careful players, on the other hand, can alternate between robot and jet form to avoid getting trampled. Certain enemies provide energy refills once destroyed, so learning which ones are worth mowing down and which are best ignored makes the experience much more manageable. Thexter also rewards players with bonus energy at the end of each stage. These buffs can raise the maximum capacity as high as 500%. While Game Arts continues to exist and develop new software, it seems they have left the Thexter business behind. Square Enix released Thexter Neo for PlayStation 3 and PSP back in 2010, and it remains the last entry in the series as of this writing. Like the Transformers, though, Thexter lacks any exclusive hold on shape-changing robots. It's possible that an indie studio or even a single programmer out there is hard at work on a Thexter-like. To that mystery person or persons, I ask, do you need help naming the robot? Because I am very good at that. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can find me on the internet by visiting my website, fightclub.me. That's FEITCLUB.ME. Good night.